Before we get started with today's special episode, I would also like to announce a couple of moves that are made today in the past 24 hours. We got the Lakers signing Jerry Dudley to a one-year, $2.6 million deal, which is pretty nice for Jerry Dudley. Jerry Dudley is a face-up big man, veteran guy, you know, nice player. He's not necessarily going to put up, you know, numbers or anything like that, but he's just a nice guy to have in the locker room. The Pistons signed Markieff Morris to a two-year deal. You know, he could be a nice backup behind Blake Griffin. The Grizzlies, you know, made some deals today. The first one being Chandler Parsons getting traded to Atlanta Hawks for Solomon Hill and Miles Plumlee. You know, Miles Plumlee was getting paid $13 million, and then Solomon Hill was getting paid $12 million. You know, that salary adds up to 25, and that's how much Chandler Parsons is getting paid this year. So, you know, in return, the Hawks, you know, they still take on that 25, you know, million-dollar cap room, but they also free up a roster spot for someone. So, good deal on them. Also, the Grizzlies, you know, now they have two veteran guys that are going to be in the locker room. Miles Plumlee necessarily isn't a valuable guy, but, you know, but Solomon Hill is a valuable guy, and he could expect him to get some playing time. And then also the Grizzlies have sent Kyle Korver and Javon Carter to the Phoenix Suns for Josh Jackson, DeAnthony Melton, and two future second-round picks. You know, Josh Jackson isn't, you know, so far isn't that guy that we thought he was going to be. You know, he was the third overall pick a couple years ago. You know, everyone thought he was going to be just this, you know, superstar and everything. And him and Devin Booker were going to be, you know, the dynamic duo. But obviously, that's not going to happen. You know, Josh Jackson has struggled to find his footing in the NBA. You know, so for him to go get a fresh new start, he has had a couple of off-the-court issues, which is not good, especially since he hasn't done anything on the court. You know, you got guys in the other league like Zeke and guys like that who – off the court, I mean, you know, Zeke off the field has some issues, but his talent overexceeds his issues off, you know, off the field. But someone like Josh Jackson really hasn't done anything, you know, so this, you know, this is really it for him. You know, he's still on his rookie contract, which is good, but, you know, it's a lot of pressure on him mentally, you know, off the court and on the court. So he has a lot of things to live up to, but he's got a fresh new start. You know, fresh new players, fresh new teammates. So we'll see how that works. You know, DeAnthony Melton is also a nice point guard. He's going to be there with Ja Morant as a, you know, that nice little point guard duo or whatever. You know, the Suns, like I said, they got Kyle Korver. I'm expecting him to be bought out in the next, you know, 24, 48 hours. Expect the Sixers, the Lakers, or the Bucks to, you know, make a move at him or whatever. You know, all three of those teams I just named need that perimeter shooting, so Kyle Korver looks like he's a value. Kyle Korver looks like he could be a valuable piece to one of those teams. You know, and also Javon Carter, who's probably the best defensive point guard in last year's rookie class. A nice addition to Phoenix. They need as many point guards as they need because for some dumbass reason, they didn't go out there and, you know, try to get one in the draft. They did sign Ricky Rubio. Couple of days ago, so that's pretty nice. So I think both teams really want, you know, also, you know, got two future second round picks from Utah going into Memphis. So yeah, really both teams won. The Suns get rid of a head case. The Grizzlies get that head case, but you know, maybe the head case could turn into talent and things like that. They also get rid of, you know, Kyle Korver. So you know, both teams really won that trade. So yeah. Those deals were made right before this recording, so without further ado, y'all enjoy the drop down episode. Thank ya. What's up, y'all? What's going on? What's going on, man? Your boy Austin and his motherfucker, man. Y'all know what the fuck it is, man. What the name? Maybe y'all don't. Let me explain to y'all this episode, man. This is the drop step episode of 1999 Sports Talk. Every once in a while, I'll be releasing these kind of episodes and shit where it's unannounced, you know, unhyped, just dropping on y'all niggas, man. No homo. Pause. That was gay. Let me stop saying gay shit on here. Anyway, shit. Today, I mean, I'm finna talk about, you know, the free agency, some trades that happened, even a little bit of NFL, you know, predictions and things like that. So, you know, fuck the bullshit, fuck all the introduction shit, man. Let's get to it. So yeah, y'all, I don't think the Warriors are gonna make the playoffs. I'm gonna flat out say it. They might make the playoffs, but I don't know. I don't know, man. You know, of course, when you hear that, the Warriors, of course, they're gonna make a play. It's the Warriors. It's the Warriors. But you got to think about it. That perimeter defense is all gone. It's a big circle. It's a big hole in that perimeter defense. You know, Iguodala got traded. KD left. Klay Thompson probably gonna miss the whole season. You know. So look, you know, and then they added in, you know, got they added in D'Angelo Russell, who's a big guard for a point guard, and you know, a normal size for a two guard. I think it's around what, 6'4", 6'5", 200. You know, so he isn't that small necessarily, but he's smaller than Klay, and Klay is a phenomenal defender. So you know, D'Angelo Russell on the defense. You know, you also they re-signed Kevon Looney. They also brought in Willie Cauley-Stein. You know, which is a good move as well. But I mean, you look at you know, the other teams in the West. You know, the Rockets. The Rockets aren't going anywhere. You know, the Rockets re-signed everyone. They're going to run it back. You know, I'm not saying the Rockets are going to win 60 games or something, but they're going to be a playoff team. The Thunder, you know, they keep all their pieces. They're going to be a playoff team as well. They added in Mike Muscala, three-point shooting big man from the Lakers. The Blazers. Hell, the Blazers came out here and fucking traded for a sound Whiteside. You know, Nurkic is coming back from his broken leg. You know, he probably won't be the same Nurkic, but they got Hassan Whiteside for insurance, just in case if that doesn't work out for Nurkic. They also, you know, traded for Kent Bazemore, brought back in Rodney Hood. You know, the Blazers, they've only gotten better. You know, they got rid of Mo Harkless, who really wasn't doing anything, just getting paid a lot of money. You know, they finally getting those bad contracts out. You know, like I said, they traded Evan Turner for Kent Bazemore, so they got rid of the bad contracts. Not saying that Kent Bazemore's on a good one, but at least he could do something. Evan Turner, you know, was just there. You know, you look at the Lakers, they got AD and LeBron and Kyle Kuzma. You know, you whoever the fuck they put around them, no, if it's Kawhi Leonard or if it's just, you know, a whole bunch of role players, they still got a good chance of making the playoffs because they got AD and motherfucking LeBron, motherfucking James. So yeah, the Jazz. People, I don't know if y'all been paying attention, but the Jazz have low key had one of the best off seasons, you know, so far. They traded for Mike Conley. You know, they signed Jeff Teague, well, not Jeff Teague, Jeff Green. They signed Manuel Moutier, Ed Davis, and Bogdanovic. You know that. You know that Jazz team, look out for them, and they got depth now. They got defense. They got, you know, offense guy like Mike Conley, who's a two way offense and defense. You know, he can get the pressure off of Spider Mitchell, Donovan Mitchell. He can get the pressure off of him offensively. He can help him out defensively. You know, Rudy Gobert already has the paint defense, but now you have Mike Conley, and you have, you know, Donovan Mitchell, who isn't a bad perimeter defender himself. You know, that Jazz team is going to be a very tough team to contain on the defensive end. You know, good luck, you know, guarding them. And like I said, they added Emmanuel Mudiay, who's a nice defensive point guard. He isn't, you know, the Russell Westbrook that people thought he was going to be when he first got drafted into the league, you know, with that seventh pick in a 2014 draft. 14 or 15, I want to say 15, I believe he was drafted. But he's nothing like that. He's nothing how people thought he was going to be. Ed Davis is an underrated big man. They probably have him at the four. Might even start him. You know, him and Bogdanovic, who's also a small four, but he played, like, you know, he played a little bit at the four last year with Indiana. Nice three-point shooter. So, you know, you have both of those guys that can stretch out the floor. You know, Ed Davis isn't a good three-point shooter, but he's a nice mid-range shooter. You know, you can't leave him open that much. You know, so look out for the Jazz, the Nuggets. I mean, shit, they were number two team last year. They kept everybody. They add Michael Porter Jr. this year, who they drafted last year, and he missed the whole season. So this year is technically his rookie year. You know, like Blake Griffin played his second year, was considered his rookie year. Ben Simmons, you know, on and on. Nerlens Noel, hell, Joel Embiid missed his first 2 years. You know, But so we'll see how the Nuggets do. I don't think they're gonna fall off anytime soon. You know, shit. You got Michael Porter. They also got Bol Bol in the second round this year. You know, the Nuggets. I'm telling you, man. The Nuggets. I'm not saying they're gonna be the Warriors and win like three titles or something like that. But you know, they could go far in the playoffs. You know, we'll see. And of course, you can't forget about the Spurs. I mean, come on now. That's the damn Spurs. You know, they got the best coach of all time, Greg Popovich. You know, they re-signed Rudy Gay. They brought in DeMar Carroll, you know. So that's what, seven teams I just named? The Rockets, the Thunder, the Blazers, the Lakers, the Jazz, the Nuggets, and the Spurs. You know, that's seven teams, which means there's only one playoff spot left. And you got the Warriors, who, you know, who they got Steph Curry, the best shooter of all time. You know, they still got Steve Kerr as the coach. This year is going to be Steve Kerr. You know, see if he's a good coach tonight. Because usually, you know, he just has just a whole bunch of all-stars and he just sit there and smile. Now he's going to do some X and O's. So we have to see about that, you know. Also, the Clippers. The Clippers won 48 games last year. Went 8 games. Or not 8 games. Shit, what the fuck? They won 48 games. They won 6 games with the Warriors in the first round, you know. So, who, you know what I'm saying? You got the Warriors, you got the Clippers, and don't forget about the Kings last year, who had a strong year compared to their most years. Obviously, they didn't make the playoffs, but they had a pretty nice year last year. You know, they for some reason fired their coach. Oh, that's the reason, because they're the fucking Kings. They make stupid ass decisions. They fired their coach, brought in Luke Walton. So maybe they'll decline, or maybe they'll, you know, even be better. Who knows? But they also lost Willie Cauley-Stein, and that's what I'm gonna talk about next. In case you Warrior fans are just you know, KD's gone, KD's gone. I'm gonna stop being a Warriors fan. Y'all got Willie Cauley-Stein. Now Willie Cauley-Stein isn't a star center. He isn't a DeMarcus Cousins healthy or anything, but he could probably have the same impact as DeMarcus Cousins. You know, as a matter of fact, he's probably a better fit than DeMarcus Cousins. You know, DeMarcus Cousins was more of a slow pace, you know, ISO type of player, which I think was good for the Warriors because they had so many players on the perimeter, able to shoot threes and everything, and they could just, you know, they're running off picks, you know, off ball and everything, and then they're tired, they give it to DeMarcus, he go there ISO on the low block for, you know, 5, 6 seconds, make his moves. You know, so maybe that was a good fit, but now they got Willie Cauley-Stein, who's a rim runner. He could throw lobs up too, very athletic. Last year had a career year with the Kings. I was surprised they didn't, you know, at least, you know, try to match the Golden State offer, because he got signed for the minimum, I believe, for the Warriors. So the fact that the Kings didn't want him for the minimum is questionable. But like I just said, the Kings are fucking stupid. So, you know, they're fucking stupid. I mean, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein has a sneaky mid-range. And, you know, last year he was last in block percentage in centers, among centers. You know, I know people going to, you know, oh, he's not that good of a defender. You know, he's last in percentage or whatever. But he's a center, you know, and he's on the Kings. He's on the fucking Kings. The Kings were a terrible defensive team last year. He's the center, which is the most exposed defensive position in the entire NBA, because everyone's going to drive to the paint, and it's up to the center to, hey, get blocks. It's up to the center to help out on pick and rolls and everything, go out on guard the three pointers and stuff like that, switch and call out switches. That's the center's job. So he was the center, the most exposed player on the worst team defensively. Of course, he's going to be, you know, last in defensive percentage of blocks. And plus, someone had to be. You know, it just has to be him this year. You know, last year it was Cat, I believe. You know, so this year it was him. It was Willie Cauley-Stein, and that's not a big deal. You know, now he joins the Warriors. He got Draymond Green, who's the former Defensive Player of the Year, who's a great defensive player. You know, and so he's able to kind of hide, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein's weaknesses defensively. I want to say he's able to hide them a little bit. You know, Willie Cauley-Stein is 7 feet. You know, so he's a body, he's athletic, he can move, he can go out there. You know, he's gonna be more valuable defensively than DeMarcus Cousins. I'll tell you that much. You know, DeMarcus Cousins was really, and even when he was healthy, prime, you know, Sacramento, New Orleans, DeMarcus Cousins, he was never a good defender. You know, I wouldn't even say good. Not great, not good, you know. He was probably at best, you know, a little slightly above average defensively. Willie Cauley-Stein, you put him on his Warriors team, defensively, they automatically got better than they were with DeMarcus Cousins defensively. You know, he doesn't need touches. You saw last year in the finals, Draymond throwing it up to Iguodala, you know, catching alleys and things like that. Now he has someone like Willie Cauley-Stein he could throw up an alley to. You know, Willie Cauley-Stein could shoot the mid-range a little bit. He has no business being out the three-point line. He's not a good free throw shooter, but those mid-rangers, you know, he's improving that. So, you know, now he's on the Warriors. They're gonna, you know, advise him, and you know, he's gonna be tempted to take him. You know, we saw JaVale McGee 2 years ago, you know, shooting threes for the Warriors and things like that. So hey, we shall see, man. You know, D'Angelo Russell, also on the fucking Warriors. I don't know who I don't know who Bob Myers think he is, the Warriors general manager. I don't know who the fuck you think he is. Or what is he doing? Like, this nigga's playing 2K with the salary cap off or something? Because this nigga just signing just like people just fucking way too talented for how much the Warriors are able to spend, you know. But D'Angelo Russell, you know, adding him to this team is good offensively, you know, even defensively. I know everyone, you know, you could watch ESPN, CBS, whatever. They're going to tell you, oh man, he's a terrible fit, blah, blah. My honest opinion, he's a great fit. I like D'Angelo Russell with the Warriors. You know, he's able, you know, with KD and Klay, you know, off the Warriors, you know, Klay off, you know, next year because of injury and KD not there anymore. That's two ball handlers that are gone. That's a lot of pressure on Steph. You know, Steph is going to have to put up, you know, 35, 40 a night or whatever to make sure they're competitive. But now you bring in D'Angelo Russell, who's also a ball handler, who can also shoot threes. You know, who's also bigger than Steph. He could take the pressure off of Steph offensively, and he could take it off of him defensively. You know, because Steph isn't, you know, dribbling the ball, you know, up the court all the time. Because D'Angelo Russell is going to share some of those ball handling, you know, attributes and opportunities. Yet, you know, Steph could reserve his energy, you know, on offense and use it on defense. You know, now that he has a ball handler with him, you know, Klay is a phenomenal shooter, one of the best shooters ever. A great defender in the NBA, you know, top five, six, you know, defensive players in the NBA. But he's not a ball handler. You know, he's a system player, as a guard, you know, meaning that because he's on the Warriors, because he's been in that offense so long, he's able to bring the ball up court because he knows the plays. But just naturally, Klay Thompson isn't a good ball handler. D'Angelo Russell is a better ball handler than him. You know, so that's why I say he's a great fit with Steph. He's able to get pressure off of Steph. You know, Steph is underrated off ball. He looked like, you know, 08 Tony Parker running these off ball picks and everything. You know, you're gonna have, you know, Draymond sending picks off the ball, you know, by the baseline, him running all over the 3-point lines and stuff. And you know, you got D'Angelo Russell who could go up, who could pull up for a three himself, who could shoot the mid-range, who could drive in, who's pick and roll, who could no look give it to Steph, no look throw it up to Willie Cauley-Stein, you know, give it to Draymond. Draymond finds Steph on threes like he always does, or he finds, you know, D'Angelo Russell. Overall, I don't think the Warriors did anything, you know, terrible with their decisions. If anything, they, like I just said, Bob Myers is playing 2K with the motherfucking salary caps off. Because ain't no way they should have got Willie Cauley-Stein for a minimum. And there's no fucking way they should have got D'Angelo Russell for what they did. But, you know, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Other notable moves, we got TJ McConnell, the former 76ers, backup point guard, going to the Pacers. Good move for him. After Darren Collison just retired, they're going to need, you know, all the guard help they can get. They got Aaron Holiday, you know, who I think is gonna be, you know, a sneaky player. Remember that. Remember, Austin Evans told you Aaron Holiday, this upcoming year, point guard for the Pacers, is gonna be a nice player. You know, with TJ McConnell added to that, it's pretty good. Isaiah Thomas, who's not the Isaiah Thomas as he once was, is on the Wizards this year. Good for him. John Wall looks like he's gonna miss the whole season, so they need as many point guards as they can. You know, they bring in Isaiah Thomas. You know, they also signed Ish Smith, you know, a couple days ago. So, good things for them. The Pelicans keep on, you know, having a good offseason as well. You know, they might make the playoffs. They just signed Derek Favors. You know, not saying Derek Favors is going to push them over the edge, but Derek Favors is a you know, gymaholic, workaholic, you know, in the gym. You know, he's a nice defensive player. He isn't Rudy Gobert. You know, he was with the Jazz. He isn't a Rudy Gobert, you know, or he isn't a minus defensively. He's not necessarily a plus or anything defensively as well. You know, he's just a nice defender, nice body to have defensively. You know, especially with Zion now, he's able to teach Zion defensively and just everything off the court and things like that. You know, he came from Utah and New Orleans are both, you know, subdued cities. And, you know, he's able, you know, I think he'll be able to bring in the young guys like Brandon Ingram, especially a guy like Lonzo, you know, who's so used to big city, you know, L.A. and everything, Chino Hills. Now he's going to a subdued city like New Orleans. You know, you're bringing someone like Derek Favors, who just left a subdued city to go over here to New Orleans. You know, he's able to, you know, bring him in and, you know, hey, calm him down and things like that. You know, so I really do like all these moves these teams make. You know, that's not an illogical move so far in the offseason, except for one team. One team that makes illogical moves every fucking year. Y'all know what that team is? The Charlotte Hornets. In case y'all don't know, the Charlotte Hornets are owned by the best player of all time, Michael Jordan. The GOAT. The boat, whatever you want to call it. The GOAT. The greatest player of all time. Michael Jordan is the Michael Jordan of bad owners. Just like he's the best player to ever play in the NBA, he is the worst owner to ever own a team in the NBA. I mean, look at the let me give y'all a list of the Hornets, you know, contracts. As I just said, they just signed Terry Rozier to a 3-year, $58 million deal. Terry Rozier, backup point guard, dude averaged 9 points last year. Is getting time out. First of all, can we make a rule? You cannot get more money than you do points. This nigga averaged 9 points. How is he getting $19 million? Now, hey, look, if I'm Terry Rozier, if I'm his agent, if I'm his family, nigga, get that damn money. Fuck, hell yeah. I ain't got no hate that nigga gets money. But if I'm a general manager, ain't no way in hell am I paying Terry Rozier $19 million after averaging 9 points. Comment on First Take on ESPN saying he wanted to trade, saying Kyrie is the reason why he isn't playing like Terry Rozier ball. Bullshit. Get that shit out of here. You know, he shoots 30-something% from the field goal, and he blames Kyrie. But even though he's been shooting, you know, 30% from the field goal his whole career. Come on now. That shit over here. Nicholas Batum is getting 25 a year. Nicholas Batum, 25 mil a year. Nicholas Batum is getting 25 mil a year. That's not it. That's not. I'm not done yet. Marvin Williams is getting 15 million a year. Who? Exactly. Bismack Biyombo is getting 17 million a year. He had one good game, ladies and gentlemen. He had one good game a couple years ago with the Raptors when he had 26 rebounds. A Raptors playoff record. 26 rebounds. Then he declined his player option, and then he signed like a big ass deal with the Magic. The Magic, who's also a terrible front office. At least they were smart when they traded Bismack Biyombo to the fucking Hornets. Now the Hornets is his problem. Or he's the Hornets' problem. They're each other's problem. Because he's fucking trash. He's not $17 million. Keep in mind, the Andre motherfucking Jordan. This nigga is a consistent double-double, average motherfucking 3 assists. Nigga shooting 70% from the free throw line. I know, 70% ain't shit, but for DeAndre Jordan, that shit is a plus. This nigga's gonna pay $10 million. But we got Bismack Biyombo, $17 million. Marvin Williams, who exactly? $15 million. Motherfucking Nicholas Batum, $25 million. Nicholas Batum. So you mean to tell me Nicholas Batum is getting paid? Last year, he was getting paid more than Kawhi Leonard, more than Klay Thompson, more than DeMarcus Cousins, injured or healthy, I'll still take him over Nicholas Batum. And keep in mind, I'm a big Nicholas Batum fan. The dude would have a 5-by-5 game a couple of seasons ago when he was with the Trailblazers. 5-by-5 game, 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 blocks, and 5 steals, which, you know, in theory, sounds like it's easy, but trust me, it's very hard to do. That's why only like 3 or 4, you know, players did it of all time. He's one of them. So I give him that. I give him that. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of his. But 25 million a year, come on, man. Like, come on now. So, man, you know, Kawhi is still, you know, deciding where he's going to go. Raptors. He's going to stay with the Raptors, y'all. Trust me. He's going to stay with the Raptors. You know, if he does go to the Lakers, I'll be surprised. The Lakers winning championship. I don't see why he would go to the Lakers. You know, he just won a championship with the Raptors. You know, they had him on load management. You know, they had him rest his body. They bring in the same pieces they had last year, except for Danny Green, maybe. But Danny Green's waiting until Kawhi, so Kawhi stays with the Raptors. Maybe Danny Green stays with the Raptors. You know, everyone just gets older a year, gets wiser a year. Kyle Lowry finally isn't struggling in the playoffs. You know, you stay with that team. You know, you got a whole nation behind you in Canada and Toronto. You got Drake on your side. I mean, come on now. Or you go to the Lakers, you become a second fiddle. You become, every time y'all lose by 20 or something, you know, should Kawhi get traded? You know, did Kawhi make the right decision? Because, you know, LeBron, wherever they go, they end up, you know, ousting someone. He could go to the Clippers as well. The Clippers look like they could have a shot at Kawhi. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think the Clippers, I like the Clippers. They have a phenomenal front office. You know, they have Jerry West, who's a consultant for them. In the case y'all don't know Jerry West is the NBA logo. Literally, the dude with the ball in his hand, you know, on the NBA logo, is Jerry West, who is the consultant for the damn Clippers. And he also, a couple years ago, was a consultant for the Warriors and was a big factor of bringing KD to the Warriors. You know, Jerry West was 1-8, 1-9. You know, I believe it was 1-8 in the NBA Finals. And so, you know, one of his big pitches was telling KD, you know, you don't want to be, you know, 0-3, 0-4 in the Finals. You know, come here, get some rings and shit. And obviously that worked out. He's a very convincing person. Doc Rivers, championship coach. 1 of 6 coaches in the NBA with the ring. You know, Lawrence Frank, vice president of basketball operations with the Clippers. You know, the Clippers, you know, they're a phenomenal team. But if I'm Kawhi, I'm looking at, hey, who has the best, you know, chance for me with the best opportunities with my best attentions? I feel like the Raptors, now that they got a championship, you know, they're very comfortable with Kawhi. You know, they respect him enough as a player. Not saying the Clippers don't, but the Raptors are very respectable of Kawhi. They traded DeMar DeRozan, you know, who broke a lot of their franchise records for Kawhi. You know, so that's a lot of respect right there. So, I mean, you know, I really think he's going to stay with the Raptors, but I wouldn't be mad if he goes to the Clippers. Now, if he goes to the Lakers, that'd be dumb as shit. I mean, it wouldn't be dumb for him, but, you know, I don't know. I wouldn't be a big fan of that. So, you know, we'll see, man. We'll see. I'm really looking forward to it. You know, hopefully makes that decision tonight or tomorrow on the 4th. Who knows? We'll see. So, yeah. In other news, CBS Sports released their top 10 quarterbacks for this upcoming NFL season. The list goes like this. Number 1, Patrick Mahomes. Number 2, Aaron Rodgers. Number 3, Tom Brady. Number 4, Russell Wilson. Number 5, Drew Brees. Number 6, Andrew Luck. Number 7, Philip Rivers. Number 8, Ben Roethlisberger. Number 9, Matt Ryan. And number 10, Deshaun Watson. This list right here is one of the very rare times I agree with the whole entire list. I see nothing wrong with this list. You know, maybe you could sneak in, you know, Jared Goff, Aaron, you know, him and Deshaun switch, you know, take Deshaun out the top 10, but that's just nitpicking. I mean, but really, you know, those 10 guys I just named, you can put them in any order. Maybe you don't think Pat Mahomes is the number one quarterback right now, but he's top 10 for sure. All these guys who I just named top 10, I think they all pretty good in the top 10. So there's no argument with me there. So I'm going to make the next list, the 1999 sports next list, where it's the top 11 through 20 quarterbacks. Starting with number 11, we got the Rams quarterback Jared Goff. Number 12, Kirk Cousins. Number 13, Carson Wentz. Number 14, Cam Newton. Number 15, Baker Mayfield. Number 16, Andy Dalton. Number 17, Nick Foles. Number 18, Mitch Trubisky. Number 19, Derek Carr. And number 20, Lamar Jackson. I think I got a solid list. Solid list. I mean, people are probably going to be like, you know, why is Cam Newton? Why is Cam Newton number 14? Why is, you know, Carson Wentz or Kirk Cousins? Kirk Cousins had an underrated year. Let's get that out of the way. The dude had 30 touchdowns to 10 picks. That's three. That's a 3-to-1 ratio of touchdowns and interceptions. He had an underrated year last year, dude. Kirk Cousins was killing. You know, the Vikings necessarily didn't make the playoffs or anything like that, but him personally, you know, him with the, especially with the guys he got, he has great receivers, you know, but Kirk Cousins had a very underrated year. I was tempted to put Matt Stafford in my top 20, but I think Matt Stafford, he's underrated entirely, but I think a lot of his numbers are inflated because forever the Lions have never had a running back. Ever since Matt Stafford been in the NFL, the Lions really never had a running back to, you know, get loads off of Matt Stafford. You know, Matt Stafford, some games you can see him throw 40 to 50 times a game, you know. Every season he's having 4,000 yards. Every season he's throwing 550, you know, 600 sometimes and things like that. Because they've never had just a solid, you know, run game. And that forces him to throw, which is not a bad thing, but it also inflates a lot of his numbers. So that's why I really couldn't put him in my top 20. You know, maybe he should, you know, be over Lamar Jackson or Derek Carr. But I just think in general, you know, a lot of these things are inflated. It's like that. You know, look at Derek Carr. It was his first year with his coach, and he still had a, you know, productive year, an okay year. You know, Mitch Trubisky had a nice year last year. You know, Nick Foles at 17. I mean, it's going to be his first year with the Jaguars, but he played with the Eagles this past, you know, couple seasons. Super Bowl MVP 2 years ago. Well, technically a year ago, I should say. I mean, Nick Foles is talented. I guess it's when he puts on an Eagles uniform, he's great. Because when he was traded to the Rams a couple years ago, he was ass. He was with the Chiefs for like maybe a couple games, a couple seasons ago. Before he went back to Philadelphia, he didn't do shit there. I guess it's just when he has the Eagles jersey on, he's pretty good. So, you know, maybe this upcoming year he'll drop from my next list. So let me know if y'all agree or disagree with that. You know, it's right there. It's right there. You know, I just named it. And, you know, if y'all agree or disagree with it, just voice message me. Or y'all got me on my Instagram, my Snapchat. LILKARYCIT, Lil Cricket. Or, you know, even go to the 1999 Sports Talk, you know, page on Instagram. DM me. Leave a comment. Do anything you want. You know. But, yeah, that's my list, man. That's my list. You know, so that's going to be it for tonight's episode. I'm going to wrap this shit up on a good note. Everybody, your boy right here is back working. So, yeah, making that shmoney now. So I can hear my shmoney dance. Trust me, I'm hitting it right now. Ooh, yeah. Hey. So, yeah, man, appreciate y'all for listening. You know, for more episodes, just head over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify or continue listening on Anchor or whatever you're listening on right now. All my episodes are available. So you have any time, you know, any criticism, any critiques or anything, anything y'all want me to contribute to, just let me know. You know, just help me get better. I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to be, you know, tops in this motherfucking podcast game. You know, you got to start from scratch. And hopefully I end up on YouTube. Hopefully I end up, you know, making thousands of dollars off this shit. So we'll see, man. Appreciate y'all for listening. And as always, stay fly.
Peace.